Well, I told y'all it was going to be a crazy song, but the group that sings that, they do, if I pronounce this right, parodies, you know, using kind of current song lyrics, but, you know, they threw some things in there. This was about the resisting the devil, you know, getting away from him and stuff like that. But I asked you, well, Lisa got it right, it's Fleetwood Mac, but who was the lead singer of Fleetwood Mac? So that's what I was really trying to see if anybody can remember. You know, that person almost sounds like her, Stevie Nicks. That's who she was in Fleetwood Mac. But that person that sang that song, when I found it, I'm like, wow, it almost sounds exactly like her. But that's what that group does. They do little parodies, however you pronounce it. But, you know, I was trying to find something to tie into the song, and it ain't much that you can find out about the bait of Satan, because everything is just about sermons and stuff like that. So that's why I kind of thought I'd throw that into the mix. And if I use that in church, I'll probably get a lot of people out there in the pew like, what you doing putting that devil music in here for, you know? But that's probably what have happened. But anyway, it's Friday nights, my friends. I'm glad that you are here. I welcome you again. We got another week that have come and gone, and another week's fixing to come on up. So anyway, you know, this message here, I've been giving it a lot of thought in the past. And what I've been doing, my voice has improved. Thank you for the prayers. They're working, so I'm getting better. But, you know, in the past sermons, you know, I've been trying to help us get focused a little bit, you know, about our ABCs, you know, our attitudes, our behavior, and our character. And then the one last week was about change. You know, and I hope that you enjoyed those, because it's been refreshing to me, you know, for me to look at myself and, you know, and see if there is room for improvements. And there always is. If we're honest, each of us probably would agree, yeah, you know what, there is room for improvement. So, you know, when I was thinking, you know, when I try to think, you know, a lot of times when either I'm preaching to you or, you know, the following day, the following morning, you know, I sit here in the morning with my coffee, you know. And I have to do pray a lot, and I have to ask the Lord, okay, Lord, you know, I don't want to make these things up. I don't want to make up the messages. So what do you want me to preach on? What topic, what area, whatever, you know. And I go through that all the time. Sometimes I already got something in mind. So, you know, if you was to see my shelves here, you know, I got books and books and books, you know, but mostly now I got a lot of them converted to electronics, so I can, you know, kind of flip through it, and then something will catch my eye. Kind of like what this message is going to be about tonight, you know, bait, you know. But anyway, I started thinking about this. I said, you know what, I hadn't heard many messages preached on this, and there is some out there, I believe. If you look hard enough on the internet, you probably will find them. So look, for right now, I want you to clear your minds and imagine this. Imagine a fish. And I guess y'all know what, I should ask my wife for that little fish. We bought a little fish for the cat, you know, it flops on the floor and stuff like that. The cat don't like it when it starts flopping. I should have brought it in to show it to you. But imagine a fish. And, you know, and you can be a fish, but you know another fish, you know. But just imagine a fish. And this fish really likes minnows. So Mr. Fish, he swims around the edges of the pond where the minnows live in the shallows. He had several close calls at the north end when he thought he saw a minnow, but narrowly escaped when he felt the hook as he bit down and swam away. Twice, he bit and actually got caught. But thankfully, there you go, folks. Imagine you're a fish. There you go. See, you're a fish. So you're swimming around that pond. You're looking for a minnow. Then you get hooked. So if those of you who's fishing, y'all know what it means to go fishing. You know, I might fry this booger up tonight. Who knows? Anyway, but twice he gets bit. Or twice he bit and he actually got caught. But thankfully, once he was able to wiggle off while the angler was reeling him in, and once the fisherman thought, well, he's really too small, so he let him go. Well, Mr. Fish, he has learned that the shallows on the north end of the pond is where he always encounters the hook. He learned a lesson. He always knows that area, whenever I go into that area, I go chasing after those minnows, there's a hook in there. One of those minnows has a hook. He learns that. So Mr. Fish now has a choice to make. He can avoid the north end altogether and find minnows elsewhere, or he can change his mind and change his diet and start going after bugs instead of minnows. Or he can keep doing the same thing. He keep doing the same thing over and over and over, because in his mind he can always think, hey, you know what? Hold on a minute. I've been caught twice. I'm still around. Nothing's happened. I felt the hook. I escaped more times than I can account. I can handle that. See, folks, I know, and this is what Mr. Fish is thinking, I know where the danger is. I know where the danger is. I'd just be smarter next time and keep my eyes peeled for those hooks. Hey, that's a big, juicy minnow going by right there. Folks, look, if you don't want to get caught by the hook, stay away from the bait. And isn't that true for us? You know, me and my wife, we've been watching a series, and I don't know if y'all been watching it, but it's called The Chosen. And I like how they put this together. It's really enjoyable. If you hadn't been watching it, they are in season two, but so if you hadn't watched it, watch season one first, and always season two. It's free. It doesn't cost you nothing. But you know what? I like what they're doing here, because, again, they're giving us a portrayal of Jesus in a different perspective from all the other times that we know. But this is why I was trying to illustrate this to you about, look, folks, if we want to overcome the opposing forces, and I call them the demonic ones, Satan, the evil ones, his demons, whatever, if we want to have consistent victory in our lives in Christ, we must learn, like Mr. Fish, stay away from the bait. Sadly, I see too many Christians struggle and get in trouble, you know, when I talk to them, you know, and they always fall back into the bait of Satan. And that's what Satan is doing. Satan's like a fisherman, y'all. He's got those different lures, and he's got those spinner baits, and he's got all those things out because he's trying something different. Because, look, me and my wife, we used to be avid fishermen. I love to go fishing. I was thinking about, hey, I still most likely may buy me a boat and go back out fishing. But, you know, when we was really serious into it on the deck, and she'd tell you, you know, I must have had 6 or 7 different rod and reels, but they all had different baits on them. Why? Because if I threw out the first one over and over and over and over and over and got no hits, well, I switched to the next one. If that didn't do it, switch to the next one, switch to the next one. You had to use different tactics. You had to use different baits. Sooner or later, the fish is going to take that bait. And this is what Satan does to us. He keeps throwing different baits out there for us. The smart thing to do, one of these days, Mr. Fish is not going to learn his lesson. He's going to get caught, and it's going to be over with for him. The best thing for us to do, folks, is learn how to recognize the bait and stay away from it. So if you got your Bibles with you tonight, we're going to be reading James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15. At least she'll post them for you. And look what it says. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then the desire, when it hath conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight and we ask of you to give us the strength, the courage, and the wisdom we need in order to fight the bait that's being thrown at us. Father, the wicked one's always after us. And as we've been going through our Bible lessons, and I've been teaching these kind of folks, the world hates us, but Satan himself, he hates us even worse. He hates us because we have recognized the truth. He hates us because we have accepted the truth. He hates us because now we have surrendered to you, and we're not like him anymore. But yet he's still fighting, yet he's still trying, yet he's still throwing the baits out there. Father, I see many friends out there I talk to. I see many Christians out there struggling. And I think what they need to learn how to resist the bait. Like Mr. Fish, he keeps going, keeps going, keeps going, but sooner or later he's going to get caught and it's going to cause him death. And Christian people need to understand, it's time to change tactics. It's time to go to the source. It's time to come to you and surrender ourselves to you and allow you to do what you do best. Provide a way out. And Father, we need your wisdom and your guidance. We need the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And we constantly ask that because right now we are facing hard times and you already know this. So I ask you to bless those folks who are here tonight. They could have went and done something else, but they decided to take time to come here to hear this message, and I hope that they get something out of it when it's done. Thank you for leading me in this direction and showing me what to say. I really appreciate it. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. And fortunately, it's not water. It is coffee, so drink coffee for change. Folks, I want you to understand the title of this message is, and even Sherry kind of looked at me funny, Stay Away from the Bait. I bet she's probably thinking, well, I ain't got a clue what that can mean. And y'all probably were thinking the same thing. Of course, I gave y'all some fish logos and stuff flashing every hour. So you kind of figured it had something to do with fishing. But this is why I titled this message, Stay Away from the Bait. And when thinking of this message, my friends, I was brought to mind something that happened with my wife a few weeks back. She mentioned to me in a comment in one of our Bible studies that we was doing online, and I was preaching how the world hates us. It hates us, those who actually follow Jesus, because again, in John chapter 15, verse 18 and 19 and 20, that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. The world will hate us. The world hated him before it even hated us. So folks, again, don't take it the wrong way when the world hates you and the world treats you differently. Because again, those of us who have surrendered to Jesus Christ are different. Get used to different. And that's part of that, the Chosen series, they use that. Get used to different. But folks, you are different. You are hated. But she went on to say that she was attacked from one of her co-workers, accusing her of doing something she did not do. So when she told me that, I asked her, I said, okay, baby, how did you handle it? And she said, I just ended up letting it go. And I was so proud of her. Because a lot of times when we are confronted, when the bait of Satan comes at you, Satan is going to use different baits, different tactics, different people, different ways. He's going to come at you any and every which way he can to get you either to lose it, to blow your cool, get mad, agitated, angry, upset, whatever. He's going to try to get you to act unchristlike. And this is why I want us to know tonight in this message, folks, we need to know how Satan works when he's trying to bait us into acting like the world. Yes, we are in this world, but we are not part of it. And Satan is going to do everything he can to bait you to act like this world. Here's another example to tie in the introduction of this message to help you understand the bait of Satan that he uses. Now, I use Mr. Fish story, so I don't know how many of you have actually fished. But like I said earlier, in order to do it correctly, you have to have something that will attract the fish. You just ain't gonna throw a bare hook out there and say, well, I'm gonna catch a fish with a bare hook. It won't happen. You're wasting your time. I tried it a few times just because I ran out of baits. I threw bare hooks out there hoping I can catch a fish, but many of the fish were smart. They didn't take it. But you have to use something attractive, mainly bait. crickets. Bait can be anything, but, you know, to use to attract prey, you know. So that's what we're trying to do. You know, when we're trying to use bait to attract that fish, in a way, that fish becomes prey because we're hunting it. See, for fish, look, your bait can be several things. It can be worms. It can be night crawlers. It can be insects. Or, like I was just illustrating to you a little bit earlier, you could use a number of different lures. Now, if you were not fishing and were trying to capture a lion, then you would need bait that is more substantial than just a few mere measly worms. You ain't gonna catch no lion with worms, folks. I'm sorry. But my point is this. The bait you choose will depend directly on the prey that you are going after. The bait must be something that will get your prey's attention and attract it to the trap that you have set for it. Likewise, the bait that is used to tempt you is something that would specifically get your attention. I'm not trying to give credit to the enemy. Lord forbid that. I'm not trying to glorify him. But he's using bait that targets you specifically. He knows all of our weak spots. He knows exactly how to push our buttons. He's good at that. But we got something that's greater than him, greater than who is of this world, and that's Jesus Christ. But it's high time that we learn to start using that power that's been given to us. Now, although, folks, you know, again, he's specifically going to use bait to attract you, specifically to get your attention. Now, although we don't always think about it, but there are people, unfortunately, yes, there are people out there thinking of ways to bait us. Have you ever thought about that? There are people right now thinking of ways to bait you and I, to try to catch you in a lie, to catch you off guard, to catch you to blow your cool, to ruin your testimony, something. Somebody out there is always trying to figure out a way to push your buttons. Trying to get you angry. Trying to get you to say something. Trying to get you to post something out of Christ-like content online. There's always somebody out there trying to do that to us. Always. For example, here's some good things right now. They're using different ways to bait us, and here's some good examples. Whenever you get a credit card in the mail with very low interest rate, 0% interest rate. Folks, that's bait. Whenever you get free checks in the mail from the company that you have a credit card with. Free checks. Baby, we're going out to eat tonight. Folks, that's bait. You see, in both cases, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to bait you. They're trying to get you to go out and spend money that you don't have. They try to get you to charge more money in return that you don't have. Whenever you get a bill with the option, minimal amount due. Folks, that's bait. It takes you longer to pay off something. It takes you longer to pay off something because the more money the credit card makes off of you. When you start paying that minimum payment, you get nowhere. The credit card is getting ahead because they're making money off of you. They got your card. They got you in that bait. They got you in that cycle. You see, the ads in the newspapers from the car dealerships offering 0% financing, and they offer huge rebates. I start drooling on TV when I see that. Look, only $149 a month, 0% financing. $7,000 cash back. Wow. Come on, boo. We got to go. what they're trying to do, my friends, they're trying to get you on the lot to get your mouth watering so bad. And they keep you there several hours because they know they're trying to, they know they're going to get you in that new car because you want it so bad because, see, they use the Pacific lure to attract you, that low percent financing and a brand new car, and you get in that, and you smell that new car smell, ooh, and then it rides good, and you start thinking about your old clunker, you know, But you have to keep you waiting. And before you know it, that you're willing to pay more than when they first offered you, even with a higher percentage rate with no rebates. They come at you with the first note. Oh, man, that ain't what I want to pay. But they keep you right in that range because they never try to give you the actual deal that you're supposed to get. Folks, it's bait. Well, how about this? When you walk into... I'm bad at that. How about when you walk into an all-you-can-eat buffet? Boy, that's my gig. Folks, it's bait. Remember, you should never eat more all-you-can-eat because your body cannot utilize that many calories, and what is not used is turned into fat. When you go to a fast food restaurant, especially McDonald's, what they offer you? Would you like to supersize those fries and drinks? Yeah. That's bait. We must recognize, my friends, what the bait is. And then we must learn to leave it alone. No, I just want a small drink, small fries. I don't want that. But they insist. And they keep trying to push it. No, 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 no. Sometimes, yeah, go ahead and give me the large fries and a large Coke. Yep, yep. I should know better. I'm a diabetic, and yet I do it. See where I'm going, folks? We must learn to recognize the bait. We must learn what that bait is. We must learn to stay away from it. And the point of all these examples I just told you, Satan himself baits us with these temptations. We need to learn where these baits are coming from and learn how to deal with them in the right way. So in our message tonight that we're going to cover several ways of dealing with the bait of Satan and how to fight them and understand the dangers of going after the bait. The first thing that we must understand and learn that we see in the Bible that Jesus himself was baited or tempted. We know that. It's clearly in the Bible. Often by his enemies. So that's the first thing we must learn. We must follow his example. We read it. We study it. I read it and study it. I know you read it and study it. He give us the example how to resist the temptations. So sometimes baiting come across as teasing. But there are times when the baiting takes on a more sinister connotation, takes a more sinister approach, gets more devious. And when you have someone who may not have your good at heart, they begin to bait you to see what your response will be, or more likely to try to get you in trouble. You need to just stay away. Like my wife did in the store earlier, she just ignored it. Sometimes I wish I could have just ignored it and I would have got myself out of a lot of trouble. But instead, I latched on to the bait. And Jesus himself, my friends, was often faced with this type of situation when his enemies baited him. You see that throughout scriptures. For example, let's look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 15 through 22. I love this part because, see, they thought they had Jesus here, but boy, look, he knew what they were up to. He knew they were trying to bait him. But look what it says. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words. And they sent their disciples to him among with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, We know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us, then, what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the taxes." And he brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to him, "Whose likeness and inscription is on this?" And they said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are of Caesar's, and to God the things that are of God's." And when they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. Wow. You see, they were trying to outfox Jesus, but Jesus had their game. He knew the bait. He recognized it. Then the Pharisees, went and counseled together how they might trap him in what he said. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, again saying, "Teacher, we know that you are truthful to teach the way of God in truth and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any." You see, folks, when you read this passage of Scripture, you must have an understanding of who the Herodians were in order to understand the impact as to what they were trying to do to Jesus. The Herodians, what they were a political party who favored the house of Herod, or Harold, however you pronounce it. And they looked to those of that house to deliver them from the Roman oppression. You see, those Herodians, they were men of standing, of influence, and power. They preferred the rule of Herod versus the rule of the Romans, which leads us to the question at hand. They asked Jesus, "Is it lawful to give poll tax to Caesar or not?" To help you understand what was going on here, folks, this question was a trick question. This question, what they posed to him and what we just read, was a trick question. And it was no win for Jesus, none whatsoever, regardless of how he answered. They had him. They thought they baited him. They got him in a trap. See, if Jesus would have said, "No, you're not to pay tribute to Caesar," then he would have been accused of being a traitor to Rome, since Rome was ruling over Israel at the time. And anybody who's a traitor to Rome, you know what would have happened next if you were accused of being a traitor to Rome. He would have been brought to a Roman court and tried. Now, on the other hand, see, that's why these Herodians, they thought they were smart. If he had said, "Yes, you pay tribute to Caesar," then he would not be the true Messiah. Here we go. Here's why. Because, see, they believe that the true Messiah would deliver them from the Roman oppressors. They thought they had Jesus trapped. They thought they had him good. But when Jesus answered them, they marveled at his answer. And it was the only one answer they had never considered. In his answer to them, what he did, he let them know that they did not owe something to Caesar. They were using his coins, his likeness on the coins. They walked down the Roman roads. Rome did provide them with a measure of peace, so they did owe something to Rome, because they owed Rome something. Rome allowed them to do what they wanted to do. So he told them, basically, give to Caesar what belonged to Caesar, and to God what belonged to God. In other words, my friends, what happened here? Jesus did not take their bait. He didn't take their bait. So if you had not put it together yet, and it kind of blew my mind when I dug into this for this message, wow, okay. See, I never saw that before in this passage. I knew there was a reason for this, what he did, what he did. But then when I dug into it deeper to study, prepare this, wow, okay, now I understand what's going on here. So if you had not put it together, let me make this clear. Bait is used to tempt the prey into taking some action which will lead them into a trap, and the end results, too, would be death. So my question to you is this. Think about this. And this should be in our minds all the time. Do you have to take the bait? Do you? Do you have to take the bait? Think about that one. The second way of dealing with bait. And I spoke to a young lady in this chat room here yesterday about it. She's struggling. We all have them. We all had them. Many still are. But the second way of dealing with bait in our struggles, you can resist the temptation. Jesus gave us the example. We can do the same. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And look what it says right there. And this is the escape. This is how it's done, folks. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this. We find that we have a promise from God that when we are tempted, we have a way out. And look what Paul is sharing with us and how to handle these temptations. Look where it says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with a temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. It is a given fact, folks, that at some point in our lives, most often than not, we will be faced with situations where we must choose to take the bait or to walk away from it. And Paul tells us, even in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says that the bait, meaning the temptation that we will face, is such that is common to man. And any temptation that we face, regardless of its source, God provides a way of escape. He makes those provisions for us. So whenever you are faced, whenever that bait is thrown at you, and whatever that you are having issues with, I'm not trying to be hard about this, but see, you can make a choice. You can either choose to accept the bait and fall into the sin, or you can choose, no, today I'm not. We have that power, folks. We've been granted free will. We can make choices. You can choose to take the bait, or you can choose to turn around and walk away from it. Your choice. And based on this, folks, again, as I'm telling you, you do not have to take the bait. We do not have to fall into temptation. Anytime that we are being baited, God will give us an escape route so that we do not have to sin against him. That's why he says that in his passage, folks. He is giving us the way out so that way we don't have to sin against him. I can't remember exactly how Lisa worded it, I think in our Bible studies, but you know how Jesus forgives us all our sins. But many times as we're so focused on Christ, we shouldn't have to go to Jesus to ask for forgiveness, something like that. But that's what Paul is really trying to say here, folks, because whenever we are baited with temptation, whenever we're baited in something out loud, we have the choice to make. He said, no, I'm going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to do this. Sometimes, folks, that will mean walking away from the bait. And other times, some people don't like to hear this, but other times, sometimes it means just keeping your mouth shut. When you are baited, just keep your mouth shut. That's it. That simple. I was baited a few times a couple weeks ago, and I could have said something to some people in church, but you know what? I kept my mouth shut and just walked away. So regardless of the situation, look, friends, God promised that whenever you are baited, or whatever you are baited with, you do not have to take the bait. He is consistently providing a way out for all of us. We just need to look for it and accept his way out. That's all we got to do. So the third way of dealing with the bait. I love this part. The third way of dealing with bait is to know the results of taking the bait. Long story short, you need to know the results. What would happen if I did? What would happen? Know the results before you take that bait. Sometimes it can't be taken back. You see, folks, this is a scary afterthought to me, but after careful consideration and going through scriptures, and I was talking with another Christian friend day before yesterday, and we was agreeing, yeah, it happens to a lot of people. Sometimes when we do go to God and ask for forgiveness, he'll forgive us of the sin, but the penalty of the sin remains. Most times he will not take it away, and we suffer the consequences of that sin. Be careful when you are faced with taking that bait, because there are consequences to pay. You will pay for it. You will reap what you sow. It will happen. So know the results of taking the bait. So let me kind of discuss this briefly, the results of us actually taking the bait. I know that many of you know what the consequences are for taking bait. I know that. Sometimes I might be preaching to the choir. But whether you can reflect back on your own experiences or the examples that I have mentioned, you know that whenever you take the bait, the outcome generally is not good. You know it. You know that when you're going to take that bait, you generally already know, man, look, I already know this thing's going to turn sour. But what happens? Many of us still take it. You should have listened to the Holy Spirit. You should have listened to the prompting of the Spirit, because a lot of times when you hear or you sense, no, I should not do it, God's telling you that for a reason. There are consequences to your actions. Yes, like I said, sins may be forgiven, but there are still consequences to those sins. So the outcome, most times, is not good. And people do not tend to bait you in order to be a blessing to you. They don't. I'm not saying, hey, that could not happen. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, generally, whenever you are baited into a response or an action, the desired outcome is not for your good. If you look at our natural world, we do not use bait to feed the prey. We use bait in order to snag our prey. Whatever that is, a fish, mouse traps, or any large animals. Bait is used to draw the prey into the situation that the prey, if given a choice, would never choose to be in it if he knew the outcome. So if an animal is heading for a trap and knew that trap was going to catch him around the neck and kill him, I think the animal would change his mind. Same applies to us. If we knew what that bait was going to do, we wouldn't make the choice to do it. I know I wouldn't. I'm not that dumb. But it happens. See, folks, know the results of taking the bait before you do so. You see, look, even in the book of James, my friends, look, we got a very good demonstration of the process of being baited. And the results of taking the bait. So back to James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15. That was all reading scriptures. Again, look at it and what it says right there. When James is speaking, he said, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, for he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. You get that? Look what it says right there. By your own desires. Your own desires is what's baiting you and trying to get you to come into that realm. Because when you do give into your own desires, look what verse 15 says right there. Then desires, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, brings forth death. Were you able to see the process? I hope so. We must understand that God does not tempt us with evil. He doesn't. He can't. He will not do that. People blame God. Oh, God was the one attempting me to do this. No, God doesn't. That's not God's deity. That's not who God is. He will never, ever tempt you and I with evil to see what our response would be. Because you know why? Ding, 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 ding. God knows everything that we're already going to do. So why is he going to tempt us in the first place? As we would say in this world, well, duh. So why would God have to tempt us when he already knows all the choices we're going to make? You see where I'm going with that? That is not how he operates. That's not who God is. God is the one. I know the mistakes you're going to make. I know the bait you're going to take. I know the things that you're going to do. But child, look, I have a way out for you. Hello? Hello? See it? See it? Make the choice. I'm not going to force you to make the choice. You've got to make the choice. But here's the way out for you. So don't ever, ever let someone tell you that God is tempting you, because God does not tempt. Because if he did, my friends, I got my Bible packed up. If God did tempt us and baited us, then most of his words is nothing but a lie. The Bible is very clear. God does not lie. God's job, what he does for us, he provides us a way out when we are tempted. Or other words, when we are baited. God gives us the way out all the time. We just have to see it and recognize it and know it and learn how to deal with it. That simple. If you started doing those things, you can get yourself out of a lot of trouble. But unfortunately, sometimes we put our big fat mouths in our way. Or we think we know better. Or I'm going to handle it my way. I wish I'd have listened to God a lot more than I should have. I could have gotten out of a lot of trouble. So, folks, what I want you to understand, examine what happens when we are tempted. Examine it. Meditate on it. Think about it. I think it's in Proverbs. I might be mistaken. Or it might be in New Testament somewhere, but I know I'm going to chop it up. Be slow to anger. Or something like slow to anger, swift to hear, or something like that. But in other words, folks, look, just don't jump the gun. Be slow to speak. Be slow to act. Don't let your emotions get the best of you. Don't let Satan use that bait of emotions to get you to do things. So whenever you are tempted in those areas, look, just stop. Take a breather. And ask yourself, is this the godly thing to do? Is it? You see, folks, when bait is presented to you, we must decide if we will entertain taking the bait. Yes, thank you for that. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. When bait is thrown at you, folks, look, be quick to listen. slow to speak, slow to anger. Because this point, whenever we are faced with something like this, which you and I should do, we should run away. Flee. Y'all remember Joseph? Things that happened to him when he's in Egypt. He was in that the Pharaoh's wife's house, whatever. She found him attractive. She came on to him. But he said, no. She kept on trying to pursue him. So he fled. He ran. But unfortunately, he got accused and he got thrown in prison. But Joseph knew. He knew in his own heart, I was not going to succumb to that bait. It may cost me. It may cost me. And it did. It cost him. But look later on that he was also redeemed. So if we decide, however, to entertain taking the bait, we begin to process the potential benefits we will receive once we take it. So what am I saying here? Because again, if you start to entertain the process of taking that bait, sooner or later, you convince yourself nothing would happen. It's going to be okay, like Mr. Fish. A few times he said he got caught. He got off the hook. A few times he got pulled up. The fisherman took pity. Well, that's a small fish, threw him back. So he started processing the potential benefits of taking the bait. He figured, well, look, that mental's very good. I've done it before. I'll do it again. Many Christians are processing the same thought because when they're faced with that bait, they are thinking the same thing. You know, hey, I did it before. I got away with it. Hey, I did it. I didn't suffer nothing from it. And it's fall into what I call a vicious cycle. You want to be free? Walk away from the bait. Walk away from it. But here's a good example on that if you start processing the potential benefits once we take it. For example, if we are very hungry, our hunger may override the danger of associating with taking the bait. I'm so hungry, I got to. And you know that bait might be poison. But I'm so hungry, I need to eat. I'm just going to get sick for a little while if I eat it. Or how about the danger of this? Eve listened to Satan in the garden. You eat this fruit, you're not going to die. God just don't want you to have it. Once you eat it, you're going to gain all the knowledge you need. You see what happened, friends? She started entertaining the thought of taking the bait and the potential benefits. Well, sound like he's right. If I eat it, I'm going to gain that knowledge. Boom, sin. Then she knew it. Oh, no. But that didn't end there. What happened? She runs to Adam, look. I ate some of that fruit, a pomegranate, or whatever it was. I call it banana. So Adam starts checking it out. Well, Well, you ain't dead. Well, if you did it, I can do it. Bam, man fell. And folks, we've been paying for it since then. Could be a fig. Yeah, hey. Let your imagination float. You see, my friends, the lure of that bait override the danger of taking the bait. And once you and I entertain the idea of taking the bait, just like for them, when you and I entertain the idea of taking the bait, like Mr. Fish, you get caught. It's over. It's over. Because James says, my friends, when the lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it leads to death. That simple. So, in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. I hope y'all got something out of this. Let me share this example with you, and I found this very interesting. I never knew this until I read this story. Oh, I got to use this in this message. I really got to bring it home to y'all. Because, you know, a lot of times, a lot of preachers, when they're going to close the message, you know, after they threw the hook out there and they got you, they got to reel it in. Well, let me share this example with you. And you may notice once I tell you. I'm going to grab some liquid. When an Eskimo is out hunting wolves, he has a very unique method of setting the bait. Wolves are very smart creatures. Very smart. Very perceptive. They can smell scents that signals danger to them. That's why they give credit to wolves, because they're very, very smart creatures. But the Eskimo, this is what he does. To overcome this advantage of the wolf, the Eskimo takes a very sharp knife, dips it into the blood of an animal that will attract the wolf. He allows the blood to dry and dips it again and again and again and again to make sure he has a very thick layer of blood on the knife. Once he has the right thickness, the right layer, once he has it just right, he freezes that knife. After the knife is frozen solid, he takes the knife, buries it blade up in the ground. Then the wolf smells the blood and seeks it out. When he finds the blood-covered knife, he begins to lick the blood off, enjoying its taste. What the wolf does not realize, and neither do we, is that the enjoyment is temporary and will cost him his life. See, the wolf continuously to lick the blood-covered knife, not realizing it's actually drinking its own blood. You see? Because the knife is slowly cutting into his tongue and his mouth as he continues licking the blood because he's drinking his own and does not know it. Then the Eskimo comes later and picks up the dead wolf. Not knowing it was a trap, the wolf bled to death while drinking its own blood. The bait leads the wolf to his death, just as sin can lead us to death. Wow. Walk away from the bait. And folks, we must become aware of any bait that people throw our way. We must be aware of any bait that people or even our chief enemy, Satan, sets before us. When we recognize that you and I are being baited, we must not entertain any thought of value that we could possibly receive from taking the bait. We shouldn't entertain those thoughts. None. Walk away. We must recognize that the bait is being very dangerously close to our well-being. And with this realization, we must choose to run away so that it does not get us off track as to where God is taking us in our spiritual walk. Last but not least, I leave y'all with this. If you find yourself being baited by someone this week, possibly tonight, tomorrow, or this week, don't give in to the bait. Don't. If you are baited spiritually or emotionally this week, walk away. walk away, seeking God's escape route so that He has already provided for you, and don't take the bait that Satan has set for you. Don't take the bait. Walk away. Amen. Let's pray.